Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
And welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. I'm here with Dan.
Hello.
And today we are talking about stress. What stress is, how you get stressed, why we get stressed, and what we're going to do about the stress, Dan, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and a few people have asked us to speak about this, haven't they? I think it's relevant to everyone. Well, it's definitely relevant to everyone. We live in an overly stressed world, I think, especially now.
Especially at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, so if we can give some tips to help bring it into your consciousness what stress is and then how to reduce it, I think we'll be on to a winner.
Exactly. And I think that stress is probably the underlying cause for a lot of problems that people experience these days. Would you agree?
Yeah, because it's chronic stress. It's not, we can have like immediate stress, which is normal when things happen and we need to react. But most of society now is chronic stress. So it's like a low level every day, creating long-term health problems, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something that, as I always say, we've got like a 250,000-year-old structural body, and we're living in modern times that have only been around for about 50 years. We haven't evolved yet to deal with this level of stress that is hitting us constantly. You know, the internet has been, we've got mobile phones, we've got all this constant information and stuff coming to us all the time. We don't get any time to switch off really in modern life anymore.
No, and we create our own stress by doing those things, don't we?
Yeah.
So that's how humans are different to the rest of the animal kingdom. We can consciously create stress for the wrong reasons. So we're going to talk about this as we get going. Mm. But there are ways we can combat this, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dan, what is stress?
Stress is a response to a stimulus. Normally we think about stress as being only bad, like I'm stressed out. It plays a big part on the nervous system. So even sayings like, oh, my nerves are frayed, or you're getting on my nerves, that's linked with stress. Although it's a saying, it's in the title, like you're getting on my nerves. It's your nervous system, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but stress is actually good and bad. You need both. Yeah. But most of the time, which is why we're talking about this topic, we're overly stressed, aren't we?
Yeah. So the main stress hormone, I'm going to get onto hormones early today, is cortisol, right? So let's go back to ancient times, and there was always a tiger chasing the caveman, wasn't there? It's always a tiger. So when a tiger appeared around a corner, you got that stress response, which would get you ready to run or fight the tiger or run away from the tiger or freeze. That's the new one, isn't there? So there was a lot of stuff going on inside your body to get you ready for those responses. And that's where cortisol comes in. Now, cortisol, we always hear cortisol has been quite a bad hormone, but actually it's a really good hormone. It's what gets us up on the morning. It's just too much cortisol can be a bad thing for, like you said, a long period of time. Also, cortisol is catabolic. So it can interfere with that rest and repair part of your body as well, if it's there constantly all the time.
Yeah, if it's there all the time, then you kind of go into that rest and repair, then it has a knock-on effect. You can find yourself waking up in the middle of the night because your cortisol is so high all the time. You cannot digest and eliminate food correctly because there's no blood in the digestive system. It's all getting pushed to the big phasic muscles, because your body thinks it's, like you say, it's in the fight or flight. So all the blood's going to the big muscles to prepare for action, really. And it's cortisol that's doing that because you're stressed. So we need to figure out what's stressing us, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, you mentioned too there that when you've got too much cortisol floating around your system and your body thinks that it's going to have to fight or flight, it shuts down two of the big energy requirements of the body, which are the digestive system and the immune system. So those two get immediately shut down. Anything that's still hanging around in your body, like water in your bladder, gets removed from the system because you don't want that sloshing around while you're trying to run or fight. Basically, your body's just getting prepared to do something, and it's shutting down all of the systems to just focus on that one thing. The reproductive system as well, that gets shut down. So there's lots of things that it has a knock-on effect. which is fine in the short term, because then that's doing its job. But like you said, long term, and it increases inflammation in the body, and it just has lots of knock-on effects that you probably don't realize.
There's certain different types of stress. You can eat foods which are unhealthy. That's stressful. You can be in an abusive relationship. That's stressful. You can not get a good night's sleep. That's stressful. So we need to make clear that your body doesn't realize all these separate types of stress. Mm. It just knows stress. So it all accumulates, doesn't it? So you can have lots of little stresses going on, but it can build up to become one big issue, can't it?
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things I didn't realize at first. So if you think about your body, that we all think of stress as like something that it's been caused by someone else, that, you know, my boss is horrible to us, I can't get through all the work, that kind of mental and emotional stress. But really, it's if you don't drink enough, that's a stressor to the body. If you don't eat the right foods, if you put too much chemicals on your skin, that's a stressor to the body. So all these little stressors add up. And imagine if you have got, if you're in a toxic relationship, or you've got a job that you hate, and then you go home and you eat crap, you don't get, or it's like exercise is a stressor to the body in some respects. So like you hammer yourself at the gym, you drink a load of coffee, you drink a load of alcohol, all of that stuff's just building up and adding to the stress. And it might be some of the things that you're actually doing to help in combat the bad job or the toxic relationship. But actually, it's just all adding, accumulating in your body, isn't it?
Yeah, so the things like coffee and exercise to some degree, if you work out too much. Alcohol, it's like a short-term fix for a permanent problem, isn't it? So if you can figure out what the permanent problem is and then go to the root cause, then a lot of the time you'll see the need or the want for those short-term fixes will decrease. They're actually not the problem. They're the cover-up for the symptoms.
Yeah. And one of the things that I learned was that your body reacts the same to stress, whether it is real or perceived. So a lot of that stuff that goes on in our head that we think is going to happen, that might not never, ever happen, but that also creates that stress response in your body. So it's like you say, finding out the root cause of why you've got this rumination and this anxiety, and there's always some reason why it's there, and looking at ways to combat that will absolutely help. Yeah.
Like you mentioned, you can stress yourself by working out. You can stress yourself by eating unhealthy food. You can adjust the balance of these things relatively easily. Figure out where you're out of balance and bring it back up. We all know we need sunlight. You get vitamin D. Sunlight on your skin is good. We naturally crave when the sun comes out, especially living in the UK. Everyone's out there sunbathing.
Yeah.
So we know it's natural and good for us, but then too much of that becomes sunburn. So that's an easy example I like to think of. So just find the right amount of stress. So sun on your skin is a stress, but it's good. And then it gets past the tipping point, it becomes bad. The same with water, the same with exercise. So just try and find that middle path.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, if you have a lot of stress in one area, then start reducing the stress in the other areas as well. And then, so if you can't get rid of the stress that is the thing that's causing you stress, then make sure you're looking after your body. Make sure you're eating the right foods. Make sure you're getting out into nature. Make sure you're doing all the other stuff that will help combat the general overarching stress on your body in the first place, yeah?
And an interesting thought on stress. We might feel stressed, so you might feel on edge. You might feel your nerves are frazzled. Try and think, are you actually stressed, or is the environment that you're in stressful? And what I mean by that is, if you go to work all day and you're perfectly happy within your own life, but everyone at work is stressed, then because everyone, like you copy off people, you have mirror neurons.
Yeah.
So if you're in a stressful home, you don't actually feel stressed. But if you're there long enough, you're going to start mirroring other people's behaviors. So if you kind of figure out where your stress is coming from, you think, well, I'm having negative health effects that are similar to stress, but I'm not actually stressed about anything. Have a look at your environment. Are you just copying the behavior of other stressful people?
Good one. I've never really thought about that one, Dan, before.
Yeah, that's quite new to me as well, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So then the good thing is, if you can make this conscious, and you can bring this to the forefront of your mind, and you think, oh, it's actually other people who are making me stressful. So then what you can do is, because I've already mentioned the mirror neurons, which is, it's innate in everyone. It's how we learn off our parents when we when we're babies, you learn how to talk and walk. So the good thing is, if you can figure out that this is happening, then if you start acting in a more kind of peaceful, harmonious way, then hopefully the people who are stressed can start copying you as well. So you can be the catalyst to revert them as well. It's a cycle. Mm. So it's a good way to think of it, isn't it?
It is good. It's kind of the language, again, that you use to yourself. So if you say, oh God, I hate this, and I can't cope with this, this is causing me so much stress. Those are kind of heavy words to put into your system. And like Dr. Bruce Lipton, who we both love, talks about the biology of belief. So every time you put one of those words, those heavy, hateful, negative words into your system, your cells are listening. Something inside of you is listening and creating a chemical response. And eventually your belief becomes your biology. And it's really important to change the words that you use into something that isn't as negative, and that will have a ripple effect outwards to all the people around you as well as your own body.
Body language is a big thing. You can tell on people if they're confident, if they're happy, or if they're stressed. You can spot it a mile away, can't you?
Yeah.
And like you were saying, the words that you use, the words that other people use as well. So be careful what you listen to on a daily basis. If you listen to stressful news or radio reports over a long period of time, that will just cause a low level chronic stress. So combat that by listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
No, but you can do it. Yeah, so listen to more positive things and give yourself affirmations, read them out loud. These things kind of sound new age and hippie-ish, but they work. It's better than the alternative, isn't it?
Yeah. And of course, the aging process is a stressful thing on the body. So I think as you get older, especially women, we can't cope with stress like we used to. I don't know if any of our listeners can, you know, appreciate that, but we just can't. So reducing all this down and the words that we're telling us in our body language and all of this kind of stuff that we're talking about will really help as you get older to just, and I think you reach a point in your life where you just don't want any drama anymore. And that's kind of why I think your body just can't take any more stress.
On a kind of similar note, you're a little bit more savvy with explaining this than me, but because it's a hormone thing, our body and brain, we prioritize the way hormones are released. We need to survive, first of all, and then we need sustenance. And then comes your sex life or procreation.
Yeah.
But we'll cover up all the symptoms and buy Viagra and things like that so we can procreate. But really, you're not sustaining yourself with healthy food and you're spending all your money on cars and then worrying about the mortgage.
Yeah.
So, but you wouldn't need to do that, suffer a poor sex life or a poor libido if you went back to the survival instinct and you didn't, and you got that sort first and you looked after your finances a little bit better, then you could afford a little bit healthier food, then you would have healthier hormones for a better sex life. So again, it's going down the pyramid and sorting the foundations out first, and then you wouldn't have to do all the fancy tricks to get the results at the top.
Take all the pills and the supplements. Absolutely. Yeah. It's down to pregnenolone. I think I said that right. So that's the mother hormone. So most of the other hormones are made out of pregnenolone. So when you're under stress, cortisol, it is the main hormone that gets made. So it steals. So there's nothing left to make like the sex hormones. So testosterone drops, estrogen drops, progesterone drops in women. So all of that stuff. And there ain't no babies going to get made when you're under a time of stress, because evolutionarily the body shuts down that process because it just thinks, right, we're not going to produce a baby when there's so much stress going on in the tribe, in the village. So that gets shut down almost instantly, along with the immune system as well. We kind of mentioned that before, but yeah, stress that's when you start getting all those low level colds, mouth ulcers, coleslaws. I'll put my teeth back in. So all those low level things that you start to get, that is also a sign of stress as well, isn't it? So sometimes, like, I'm going to drop a Tony Robbins thing in, kill the monster before it eats the village. So start to just look after things before it gets into a really bad way and it starts to deeply affect your health.
Yeah, that's a good segue to move into some tips for how to manage stress, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the first one, you pretty much just said it there. Identify the primary stressor. Really have a think. What is the biggest thing that's stressing me? It's like a domino effect. If you can knock down the first biggest domino, then maybe all the other little things that you think are stressing you might just disappear.
Yeah.
So that's really important to do. And remember that your body does prioritize security and safety. So really try and get deep down. I think, is it finances that's really worrying me? I've never really thought about it this way. Is it food? Is it shelter? Like, I'm worried about paying the mortgage. It might not seem obvious, but that might be really what's worrying you.
It could be a person as well, or a relationship that doesn't serve you anymore. As you get older, you move on, and sometimes growth, a thing about growth is it comes from it sometimes means destruction first. You have to destroy something, kick down a wall, kick down a boundary to grow. And so sometimes you have to do what's difficult. I think most people know exactly what they need to do to get rid of the stressor, but they're scared of doing it. And it's getting to that point where you think, right, yeah, enough is enough. And I can't go on like this anymore. There's a point in the universe where it'll make you that uncomfortable that you actually do something about it.
Yeah. Or you cover it up. You keep covering it up for so long. So that's when the alcohol amount goes up, or the amount of coffees goes up, or the distractions go up, because you don't want to deal with the reality that's in front of your face.
I drink to forget.
You do.
No. That's a famous quote, but I can't remember who said
it. Cool, yeah. So identify the primary stressor and then come up with a plan to figure out how you're going to get through it. Short-term goals. So I've used this as a common theme. If, say, finances was your biggest stress, come up with a plan to save money. Say, I'm going to save £50 a week, or I'm going to sell all my unwanted junk on eBay and see how much money I've got. You have to have a plan. Use mentors, use courses, programs. Because if you just go at it with no direction, then that's going to be probably even more stressful.
Yeah, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there, right?
Yeah.
So make a plan, definitely. And just do little things. Sometimes, like we've spoken about before, we spoke about it with Vicky the other week, that just making a start is such a big part of the gaining momentum. Just make a start and changing one little aspect. Don't try and change everything. Just one little thing, and that'll make a huge difference to your life.
It's not as daunting to just change a little thing either, is it?
No, I don't think so either.
No.
Just trick yourself into it as well.
Yeah, so once you've made a plan, then the next one's a lot more practical, but it's prioritize nutrition and hydration. Because if you're internally stressing yourself with really poor quality food and drinking coffee and alcohol instead of good quality water, then if you're internally so stressed, it's just going to magnify the external stresses. So if you've got no money, or you've got a boss that you hate, then that's going to seem a lot worse if your body's stressed on the inside as well. Because all these hormones, the cortisol and DHEA and growth hormone that we need all the time, your body produces those through the food that you eat. So if you're eating poor quality food, you literally can't replace these hormones. So you're just going to be even more stressed. So it sounds a little bit hippie-ish, but if you get internally correct first, then it might not seem as bad, or you might have better resources to conquer the stressor.
Yeah, and also from a practical term is, if you're in a stress response, your heart rate's already high, your breathing rate becomes more shallow, all of that stuff. And if you think you're drinking coffee, which is a stimulant, you're adding to that process. So you're just adding on to the stress. Like you say, sugar, that's also a stimulant. So your body goes into into high drive, really, doesn't it? You're in this constant, like, highly strung state. And you can see it in people, can't you? Those kind of people who are like that. It's quite interesting. So like you say, some good nutrition tips are omega-3s are really good for combating stress. So things like fish, good fats, good healthy fats. And B vitamins are also really good for combating stress as well. So Marmite is good.
it's getting high quality food. If you're eating food that's toxic, covered in pesticides or genetically modified, then you literally are what you eat. If you find yourself having kind of negative, toxic thoughts, it's literally, what are you putting in your body? If you're putting toxic food in your body, you're going to get a toxic looking body. You're going to get toxic thoughts and toxic actions. So everything might seem stressful if your outlook is terrible.
Yeah, like when I used to be a statistician and we looked at the data of like what people put in, and they're going, oh God, what we're getting out is rubbish. But it was because they were putting rubbish in. You're only as good as what you get out. So it's like anything. If you put rubbish petrol in your car, or the wrong kinds of petrol in your car, then it's not going to run very well, is it? It's performance enhancing in all respects, just to get the right nutrition and the right hydration in.
Yep. And the next one is my next tip, is my favorite one for combating stress, and that is exercise.
Yay.
But not in the traditional term. So doing a workout is good if you feel fresh, if you feel healthy. Doing a workout is a form of stress, breaks muscle down, breaks tissue down. But then if we get rest and digest, we can build it back and feel fit and strong and healthy. But for most people who are overly stressed, we need to slow down a little bit and just do a more gentle exercise, which it's not going to raise the heart rate. It's going to still the mind. It's going to allow us to go on that rest and digest. So get rid of those, your favorite term, stagnant pools in the body. So allow our digestive system to work, get blood flow and oxygen in there. So then new food that comes in can then be, the body can take the nutrients out and repair us a little bit better. So doing things like gentle walking, Tai Chi, anything that's not too stressful, even like swimming, if you just go slow and just enjoy yourself. You don't have to break muscle down all the time. You just need to move and just feel relaxed and breathe as well. Breathe when you move, and you'll find your mind just calms down. Just allow yourself just that 20, 30 minutes. Yeah, that's my favorite, because I love doing Tai Chi.
Yeah, it makes such a difference as well. People think they've got to do this hit and high paced and like kill themselves in the gym. That's going to be good for them. But actually, if you're stressed, it's the worst thing that you're going to do. You're just putting more stress into an already stressed out system. So like you said, just slowing, taking a bit more chill out time, that will build more muscle than anything. Because when you're in that catabolic state, we've already mentioned the catabolic state that cortisol does, which is breaking down your body, breaking down your tissues. When you get into that nice rest and digest phase, which is anabolic, that's when it's rebuilding and getting, you know, your body will just repair, rebuild and repair itself. So, you know, it's counterintuitive really, isn't it, to go and kill yourself in the gym when you're already under a lot of stress.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think a lot of people think doing more gets you better results, but not actually, less is more in this regard, isn't it?
Yeah, less is more.
Less is more. So to get into that anabolic phase is really important, because if you just keep breaking muscle down all the time, then you, for one, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, and your chances of getting injured, getting ill, are just going up because you're constantly under stress. So just pack off a little bit and your results in the gym are going to be far better.
True.
Okay. And my final point I've got for combating stress would just be it's thoughts. So you mentioned it in a good point earlier. You become what you think, thoughts become things. So try and harmonize your thoughts and realize what you give out is going to come back. It requires no gym. It requires no food, no water. It's literally what you tell yourself. So essentially, it's the easiest one. It's the most effective one. But it's sometimes hard to get rid of those negative thoughts, isn't it? But if you do, you're going to have dramatic results.
Flip the coin. Flip the thoughts. So if you're thinking something's negative all the time, just try and flip it as to, What is this trying to teach me? Why am I being put into this situation? What do I need to learn? How do I need to grow? So that you can go from a more of a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, so that you can actually make a difference and make a change. So to your life or to the life of others around you. So flip it over. Have you finished with your ones? Yes.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to go now. You can just finish.
All right, then. so I've got a few. Earthing, you know, one of my favorite things to do, get down and dirty in the earth, get your hands in the earth, get your feet in the earth, get your shoes off. There's nothing better than getting your shoes off, walking on a beach or in the earth, in the grass, and just letting, there's a lot of scientific research around it, although it sounds really hippie, but there is some good scientific research around about the frequency of the earth. It's very, very similar to our body frequency. So we can actually absorb it up into our bodies, and it can create a good sensation of just that calm and sensation down. And it's something that's so easy to do that anybody can do it. Go and get your feet in the sea or on the sand and just Yeah, you don't even have to, just in your garden, just get out, get your hands in the earth as well. It's really good for your immune system as well. Like we talked about, like stress, like some stress is good for you, that low level stress. So one of my other ones is one I'm nicking from you, Dan, that you said earlier before I went off on air, was create peace points in your life. So
yeah, I'm glad you referenced me though.
Yeah, I didn't nick that one off you. You do want to explain it?
No, I'll let you go. You're so
we all think about meditation as like we have to sit for an hour, clear our minds and go but when you've got kids, work, life, all of that stuff, it's not all, you're not always able to do that. So creating peace points throughout the day will help you to so it doesn't have to be anything. You just sit down, read a book, get outside, go for a walk, just 5 minutes a day where you're on your own, you've not got your phone. It just gives your body a chance to reset. So create peace points throughout the day will help you just, and sometimes it's that thought process, you know, like we talk a lot about Carl Jung as well, making the unconscious conscious, that when you create those peace points, the unconscious brain can then talk to you because it's not got that rattling on all the time of everything else that's going through your mind. So it's good. That's a good one to do as well. And my final one, Dan, did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, sorry, I was going to interject. I was going to say, you mentioned it quite quick there, but it's something I've done this week, get off my phone as much. So I'm giving myself a bit of a social media, not a ban, but I've been on Facebook quite a lot lately because I've been running the fitness programs through Facebook Live. So I've had it on my phone. But I'm not doing that now. I'm taking a bit of a break. And I thought, well, I don't really need to be on Facebook as much now. So I've deleted it off my phone. I'll still go on if I've got my laptop out during the day. And obviously we do podcast stuff and I'll still go on. But I don't have it on my phone because it was coming an unconscious, like a habit. And it can become stressful because us humans, we compare each other and you only see the good stuff on Facebook, don't you? So it was getting a little bit out of control. So, and like you said as well, if there's so much external going on through your phone, through social media, in just everyday life, that the really important messages, you cannot hear them anymore. They're not coming through as clear. So it might sound trivial, but for me, it's been quite good. And you realize how addicted you can get as well when you take something away. So that's something I've done this week. Yeah.
That's huge. I know. And I'm quite strict with myself because I do run my business through social media. So I'm on it quite a bit, but 8 o'clock, I switch it all off. Like if anybody messages me or emails me, I don't answer until the next day because otherwise you'll be there all night just constantly. I just try and switch everything off. And this is going to lead beautifully into my next and final point for dealing with stress, which is sleep hygiene. Prioritize your sleep, create good habits around sleep. And that's, for me, is one of them. That 8 o'clock comes around then, unless it's me mate texting us about something or you texting us about podcasting things, then that's it. I don't really answer anybody else. So create good habits around getting to sleep, get to bed at the same time every night, wake up at the same time early morning. That's all about the circadian rhythms of cortisol production. And just create good habits, because I think a lot of people don't prioritize sleep at all, and it's one of the best things that you can do for stress, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've just started listening to Matthew Walker's audiobook, Why We Sleep. Have you read the book?
I've read the book, yeah.
Yeah, I've just got the audiobook, and I saw him on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was just fascinating, so I've got the book, even like the opening chapter, like it's just amazing. So I highly recommend that to anyone. And what's the Robert Sapolsky book?
I haven't even mentioned him, have I? I've got it here, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. This is a really good book.
Yeah, this was recommended to me by my friend Carl as well. So you've recommended
Carl?
It as well. Yeah, Carl recommended. He said he's done a podcast with Joe Rogan as well. Carl hasn't. Robert Sapolsky, and he said it was fascinating. So I need to get on that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really good book. I don't know why I'm showing it to you, because our podcast is non-visual, but I am waving it around now. So, Carl, thank you for recommending it. I've read it quite a few times, actually. And it's a really good book if you really want to understand the stress response and how to cope with it as well. And he's really good at going back to, you know, all that stuff that we love about primal brain and stuff. He's really good at pulling it back, right back to where it all came from in the first place. So that's a good shout out.
Cool. I think we've covered stress pretty well there.
Yeah.
So calm once everyone's stress. Listened to this podcast, we'll all just be zen and just calm. Be like a magic pill.
Yeah. Okay, so Dan, what do we want our podcast listeners to do this week?
Well, first of all, we want you to pass the pod. If you've got any friends and family that you think are stressed, then let them listen to our soothing northern accents. I'm sure that'll chill them right out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're back at work this week, aren't you?
It's the 27th, so I've got a little bit of breathing space yet. But yeah, the world's coming back to life, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm happy about it, but I know that a lot of people are quite stressed about it as well, aren't they? So they need to listen to our podcast.
Perfect timing. we didn't plan that at all.
Yeah. So yes, pass the pod. And don't forget, if you listen to this on iTunes, to please leave us a review, because it helps us get more noticed. That was really bad English. It helps us get noticed more and spreads the word about us and our message that we're trying to relay to the world. Right, Dan?
Yeah, and if you've got any questions or topics or books or anything you think would fit in with our theme, then fire away, because we like a bit interactive, don't we, and getting feedback.
Yeah, we're getting loads of feedback, actually. I love hearing everybody's comments and feedback. It's all good. Apart from if it wasn't good, then I don't know how I'd cope.
We'll just ignore that and pretend it didn't exist.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But thanks, everyone, and we'll see you soon for another episode.
Yeah, bye.